Okay, and just to let all parties know, this call is now being recorded. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Glenn, why don't you call the roll?
I'll do that. We have on the call Mike O'Connor, who is the leader of the group, Mark Perkle, Joe Sansover, James Bladel, Cal Ferrer, George Kirikos, Paul Diaz, Greg Aaron, Wendy Seltzer, Dave Piscitello, and Mike Rodenbach. And for staff, we have Liz Gaster, Marika Koenig, and myself.
Thanks a lot, Glenn.
And we have apologies from Rod Rasmussen, who unfortunately can't be on the call.
Thanks. We have a somewhat compressed timetable for a pretty important call, because today is the day of the Anti-Phishing Working Group's board, and a number of you need to drop off the call at the top of the hour. So we're going to push along pretty hard. The agenda's up there, and essentially what I really want to do is focus this on the review of Marika's second draft of the document. I've put the link to the draft out on the Adobe Connect chat area for those of you who are on Adobe. And here's what I'd like to do today. I'd really like to focus on sort of the hard parts of that document, unquote. See if we can get through that. I think what we'll try to do is vote in Adobe if you're on Adobe, and then those who are not on Adobe, Glenn will call the roll for those folks. Today I think what we want to do is just zip through these as fast as we can, and I'm sort of getting a little distracted because I got myself out of place. I'm trying to find the spot that I wanted to start. I think what I want to do is start on page 3 of Marika's document. Marika's items 7, 8. I'm going to try and clump some of these.
Talking about her September 6th draft document?
Yeah. So these are the ones that Dave Piscitello injected starting at line 58. And what I'd like to do is just go through the 4, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 in a group, if that's all right. And maybe let Dave sort of... What I'd like to do is spend as short a time as possible on the rationale, just because we have so many of these to get through and they're so important. And then very, you know, as rapidly as we can, go through a series of polls to see where our consensus is at on these. And then to the extent that we can't get through them today, I would like to lobby that we take this polling to that offline polling, or the asynchronous polling thing that I sent out to the group called SurveyMonkey for the rest, so that we can kind of keep this polling going. But I wanted to try to do as much as we could today on the call. Is that all right with folks? This is the time to voice complaints if that's not a good approach. Okay.
Having trouble pulling together all the pieces of documentation.
Yeah,
readable
I apologize
format.
For that. Do you want us to do... Are others having trouble? Should we wait a minute while we kind of collect our respective wits?
I did have to download that CDF again.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm on a very fast connection, so it just came right down. So, tell you what, let's use the little... We'll track practice our skills at using the Adobe stuff, and when you've got yourself together, just tick off that you've your agreement button, the little tick mark that's done. And when I see that we're all in good shape, we'll carry on. And I'm on page 3, and the URL is in the chat area. And for those of you who aren't on Adobe Connect, it's also posted out on our main wiki page. Liz, go ahead.
Oh, I pushed my button by mistake.
Uh-huh.
But thank you.
Connected. This is Dave.
Hi, Dave. Yeah, we're connected.
Yep. Greg Aaron says he can't hear anything. Greg, can you hear now?
I can hear you now.
Oh, okay. I guess it was just a pregnant pause. Huh.
Yeah, there was a quite pregnant pause. We're sure. pulling up documents. So when you feel like you've got drafts that we're working on in front of you, tick off your check mark on there just to let us know that you've got the documents in front of you and are ready to carry on. And we got real quiet while everybody was doing that.
Can I ask a quick question?
Sure, go ahead.
Are you, when you said you were on page 3, are you referring to the proposals list?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I'm on proposal number 7, which is one of your inserts on page 3 of the September 16th proposals list. I know it's uncharacteristic of me not to talk. Maybe that's what the problem is. You're already so used to hearing all this Irish blather. Greg and Mark and Wendy, how are we doing? Are you running into troubles? Can we help you? Ooh, you're is going to take you some time. These are pretty long.
The alternative is to have a 32-inch monitor.
Yeah.
I open them as Gmail attachments, and they work perfectly.
I have monitor envy.
Yes, no, I thought
well,
I had printed
the
them
eye.
To review them better.
The quality of the eyes and age starts to have an impact, I have to say.
Okay. It looks like we're set. Wendy, what do you want to do? Do you want to? I'm happy to wait if you are close. If you think that you're a ways away, I may drag us on ahead. What do you think? Wendy?
Sorry, I'm not going to be able to stay for much longer, so don't wait for me.
Okay. This is starting to convince me that maybe the asynchronous approach is going to work better anyway, because it's going to give people a more flexible way to review the documents. But let's see how this works over the phone and see how far we get. Dave, why don't you give us, if you can, just a 30-second to 1-minute summary of 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11.
Okay. What I tried to do in this section, starting with 7 and 8, is reword the text that existed to more clearly separate the characteristics that I had originally intended to apply to harmful uses of fast bus networks, as opposed to those that I labeled self-beneficial. The idea of using what I hope was less charged terms like self-beneficial but publicly detrimental was to get us away from some of the language that trapped us so much in early on in the process. I'm hoping that what I've done is represented both facets that we wanted to illustrate in describing fast bus networks. So I think it reflects some of the stuff that George and Wendy and Christian had expressed, and the things that Joe and I and Greg and Rob had expressed. That was really the goal of the changes in this section.
Okay. I think what I want to do, if in cases where there are counter proposals, which there aren't here, we'll have the person who's attached to the counter proposal speak as well. But on these, what I'd like to do is everybody clear your status, so we have nothing but blanks, and then once we're all blank, I'd like folks to either give it the check mark, the agree or the disagree, the check or the X, see where our level of consensus is on these. I'm going to try and do these in clumps like this just so we can get through them all. So go ahead and agree or disagree that we should insert this into the document.
Could I ask a question real quick?
Sure, go ahead. This is our first try, so I think we need to work on these questions, too. Go ahead.
Are we talking about all of those changes you just referenced?
Yeah, I'm going to try and do them in clumps. If it turns out that we need to split them apart, that's fine, but I'm hoping that we can take them in groups like that.
The draft I'm looking at, 7 still inserts FastFlux attack network, which I understood to mean that that reference was intended not to be neutral. Is that still part of the proposal?
Dave, would you take that as a friendly amendment to take attack out of that?
I'm sorry, I can't hear. Hold on just a sec. Could you repeat the question?
In your number 7, you've added the word attack in a phrase, a Fanflux attack network. Christian's raising the point that's not exactly neutral. Would you take the notion of removing attack from that as a friendly amendment to your number 7? Say a Fanflux network?
Have you read the whole... Christian, have you been able to see the entirety of the replacement text?
I haven't looked at it all together, but my understanding was that it didn't quite fit with the other statements you were making.
If you can take a look at the entirety, and unfortunately the way that it's represented here is sort of challenging. What I've done is I've said, here are the things that are characteristics of Fastflux attack networks, and here are the characteristics of Fastflux networks that are used for self-beneficial purposes. So I tried to use attack network to be able to include the one very obvious case where you're using compromised computers without authorization and consent. As one of the characteristics of an attack network. And then there are a whole bunch of characteristics that are common or could be common to networks that are used in a self-beneficial way but harmful to others, or in a self-beneficial way that's beneficial to others. And that's the way I wrote this section. So the attack, we wanted to try to identify two cases here, I believe. And it probably would be easier for you to understand what I've done if you were able to see the entirety of the section here.
Okay, good clarification. Let's keep on with the voting. I'd like to see something beside everybody's name except mine.
And mine, Mike, it's Liz. I'm not going to vote as staff. And Marika,
mine either.
Yeah, I think chair and staff should sit out. And we've lost Wendy.
It's not lack of interest.
No.
I'm not sure you really need to sit out as the chair, Mike. You are.
Well, I thought if it came down to a tie, I'd jump in. But
Mike, I have to apologize. I just joined the call and missed what's being voted on, so...
Ah, welcome. Who is this?
It's Rodney. I'm sorry.
Oh, hi, Rodney. We're on the two documents that we're really working on. The primary document is the one that's in the middle of the chat called the proposals document. And that long link that's in the middle of the chat. And we're on page 3, 4, and 5 looking at sections 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. In a group, essentially clarifying the definition of Fastflux that we had already put into the report. And then what we're doing is using the little change my status thing in the lower left part of the screen, either picking the check mark, which is agree, or the red X, which is disagree. And what we're trying to do is to poll to see the level of consensus around this change.
Okay, I'm just trying to bring it up over here, so I apologize. Don't wait for me, obviously, on this one, but I'm bringing it up. So
now, this one looks like we have pretty strong consensus, so I'm going to declare this one. What are our three terms? I should have written those down. This is the thumbs up one, whatever it is, I think. Everybody seems to agree that this is
agreement, support, and alternative.
Thanks, Mike. So this, I'd say, is agreement.
I just make one more suggestion here. If we are talking just about the characteristics of different networks, could we change the language about the definition? Because I misunderstood the nature of these changes on the whole, and the way it's presented in the initial document, it sounds like this was a tentative definition. Whereas I think it might be better to refer to it as characteristics if we're simply trying to find some characteristics that we associate with these different activities.
I take that as a friendly amendment.
Oh, I think that's fine. Yeah, I mean, I just want to tighten it up so that we have both perspectives represented, Christian.
Okay.
So there's no. Yeah, I think that's a great thing, because I think when you have definitions, people tend to run around with, you know, using them as a hammer. But, you know, we've all learned that there are just so many different characteristics here, that and more to come, that I think that's a great idea.
Cool. All right. I'm going to push this along, because we have miles to cover. The next one, I'm going to skip some of the smaller ones, because we have some giant ones that we need to address. So the next...
Mike, can I just, this is Marika, can I just clarify so that 7, 8, and 9 are a yes, and there's no agreement moderate, this is agreed by all and will be inserted?
Yes, 7
okay.
through 11.
Okay.
Are a yes.
And we're going to call these characteristics, not definition.
Right. And we took that characteristics change as a friendly amendment, Marika. So when you go through the section, I'll have to get rewritten.
Okay, in the original document, you mean, where we mention... Because here I see it's already saying characteristics and not definitions.
Yeah, wherever it says definition, we want to switch towards characteristics.
Okay, that has been noted.
For those of you who weren't on the call earlier, Marika is much on mute today because she has two kids with her. And I was sort of lobbying for leaving it unmuted so that we could sort of join in, but she wasn't going for that. I want to go to... There's a whole series... Trying to find the question 5.1 start.
I'm sorry, I've got to drop off, but I'll try to pick up the discussion online later. Thanks.
Thanks, Wendy. I'm looking at number... Oh, there's 15.1. Dave has a... minor change. I think the next one that I'd like to take a look at is number 16. It is on page 8 of the changes document. And it's Joe's comments about the Mannheim score. And Joe, if we could hear from you for just, again, a very short period of time.
Well, in a nutshell, remember that folks were interested in having something that would provide sort of a definitive assessment or scoring tool for whether or not a domain looks like it's a FastFlux one or not. The Mannheim formula seems to go ahead and do that and do it quite well. And there was also, I think, a need to go ahead and talk about the data sources that we've received as a group and what has been done with them to date and if they're accessible or not. And those are the two items I attempted to deal with here.
Terrific. Thanks, Joe. I think we're probably going to have to split this one in two. The data one, I think we're just suffering from friction. We still haven't got those sections done. I know that Dave and Rod especially have been working on stuff, but the stuff hasn't come in yet. So I think let's leave that off. Let's have a quick clear everybody's status and then indicate agreement or not as to the first part.
It sounds like a minority opinion. Would consensus at this point insert it as a minority opinion, or would it present it, would it remove the sum members language?
That's a good question. I think it depends on, let's presume that the sum members is gone and see if there's consensus around using this as the formula. And then if there isn't consensus, we'll insert it as a minority. How about that? Dave, you've got your hand up.
No, I'm just botching the...
Okay. That's the talk button. That's the one next to the raise hand button. So if you toggle it again, that'll probably go away. Okay. And you're raising your hand again.
Go away.
Okay.
I'm not talking.
Fair enough. Waiting on James and Paul. All right, looks like we can insert that as just part of the report rather than a minority opinion. So, Marika, the notes on this would be to remove the clause at the front that says some members and just start it with the working group believes that the Mannheim test score, blah, 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 blah. And then let's
in a minority because it gets Curtis and I, sorry, Christian Curtis and I disagree.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that. Yeah, do you want to put a minority in there?
Yeah, let me explain the reasoning. Oh, I'm still concerned about the false positives. I'm also concerned about any mechanical rule that doesn't have the human element, you know, overseeing it. The third concern I have is once you publish a formula, that's an invitation for attackers or malevolent people to test against that formula. Just like if you publish a formula for spam or viruses, people will test their spam or viruses against that formula to make sure that it passes and then send it out. People do that all the time if you look at all the antivirus software. You know, the bad guys buy it too and
right.
And make sure that their signatures don't match. I'm concerned that people will adapt to that formula. But if, you know, we have longer discussions that show that you can't game that formula, that Mannheim formula, then I might be able to be turned to the other side. But I still want the human review.
I get that. And we've I've seen Paul and Greg and James. Are you guys changing your status? Are you changing your mind?
No, I was just clearing it.
Oh, okay.
Same.
Marika, I think you're going to have to listen to the MP3. I subscribe to George's point of view, and I think he raises a good minority opinion.
Ms. Marika, could I maybe just change into the majority of the working group?
You can certainly do that for the text that's in your document, but
yeah.
Then I think you'll also have to go and summarize George's points for a minority position.
Okay, or George, if you want to put that in a few lines so I'm sure I convey the exact message, it would be great.
Sure, I'll do that.
Thanks.
Christian, does that encompass your point of view as well?
Yeah, my concerns were more his first two rather than that last one, but I think that what gets drafted will likely explain my concerns as well.
Terrific. Okay.
Mike, can I ask a question to Christian real quickly?
Sure, go ahead.
One of the things that has troubled me in the way that we've talked about false positives is that we imply that you know, there can be no false positives. And I think it would help if what we discuss or at least or agree to is that in all you know studies and analyses, you know, medical, scientific data, there's nothing that results in a zero false positive. And there usually we talk about false positives in the sense of an acceptable rate of false positives. Is that something that we can try to introduce in the text here to make people understand what we're going for?
You know, we actually have another item that I think we skipped over that deals specifically with this issue. Do we just want to go back and address that now?
Sure. Where is it? Do you remember?
One of the earlier ones.
Okay. Somebody gets a gold star for finding it first.
thing is, the false positive rate, as I think I brought to, mentioned to the list several weeks ago, is going to be affected by the proportion of use of the technique in general. This goes back to Bayesian statistics.
Yeah.
So you may not see the false positive rate high right now, but that could change in the future as more people...
Oh, it's actually my comment.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's on page 7, 15.1.
Right.
Reliable techniques to detect fast flux networks while maintaining an acceptable rate of false positives.
So on this issue, my concern is actually more not so much that it may be impossible for there to be an acceptable rate of false positives, but that it's inappropriate for ICANN or for the register drawers to decide what such a rate is. So it, in terms of there being a rate of false, an acceptable rate of false positives, from the policy concerns that I have turn very much more on how that gets set and what the process is that we use to deal with fast flux. So, for example, if a private security company designs software that will advise users not to use certain websites or follow certain links or block that access, then if they don't have some sort of chokehold on the, or actually, what was the term we used before? The DNS community being a choke point. If there isn't some sort of position of power like that, then I'm far less concerned than if ICANN is making a decision like that.
Dave, in terms of the placing of your point, can you give us a quick interpretation as to how Christian's concern would be addressed?
Honestly, no, because I don't know how these would all materialize. My point was simply to make certain that when we were trying to characterize fast flux or solutions to mitigate it, that if we had agreed to go forward on some sort of automated technique similar to what Joe has introduced, one of the criteria for approving that technique would be it demonstrates an acceptable rate of false positives, just as you would see in like an intrusion detection system or antivirus software on a desktop. And I guess I thought that was kind of accepted practice in the security industry, and maybe it's not in the broader community. I don't really have a preconception of how ICANN or the DNS community at large would adopt some of these mitigation techniques, and I thought we were presenting them in the spirit of trying to broaden the understanding, not choosing one.
I think that's probably safe to say in this section of the report. I think I think Christian, that the issue that you raised might be of much greater concern if we were in the described proposed solutions part of the report.
To some degree, maybe it's best just to address it by a statement in that section or a personal statement that references it. I just get nervous when there's any talk that assumes an acceptable rate of false positives, because I worry that there's something, because what we're discussing is ICANN action, I do worry that inherently assumes that it's appropriate for ICANN to take action that would make such a determination.
Oh, you mean decide what is acceptable?
Yeah.
Right.
Ah, okay. That would be a valuable clarification, and I would support Christian. And why don't you write up a statement and post it? Because as I said, I'm sort of agnostic about where the definition of acceptable is, and Frankly, I think different communities might have different interpretations of that, just like we've encountered with legal versus illegal and, you know, harmful versus beneficial. So I think that's context. And I think it's valuable to raise that point.
One other point of data or concern is the false negative rate. Is there any data about how many malicious Fastlux networks exist that aren't caught by the Mannheim formula?
I don't think anybody's gone ahead and done a study of that. It's kind of one of those questions of how do you know what you don't know, I think. So that's going to be kind of tough.
Well, unless you use different... I mean, now we're into survey design. I'm going to stop talking. Sorry. George, you want to carry on?
Oh, no. Well, it's just that if you, you know, you say that, you know, you built up a data set saying, you know, this is cancer, but then you come up with a new cancer that doesn't fit that definition, then you're going to have to go back and revisit what the Mannheim flux score formula is. And if that's going to keep being changed, then, you know, it's going to be a moving target as to what the formula is.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to try. So I'm on 15.1, bottom of page 7. Clear all your little gizmos. With Christian's friendly amendment that Christian just walked away with an action item to write, clarifying the issue of false positives, how say ye about 15.1, bottom of page 7? And use your little tick boxes again.
What are we voting on again?
15.1, the...
What's the change?
It's changing... roll down to the... where's my... In the original text, it said, while avoiding false positives. In this text, it says, while maintaining an acceptable rate of false positives.
Okay.
I think it's a clarification. I wrote the original and would view this as a friendly amendment. That's part of the reason that I skipped it. But then I think Christian's point is well added. Is Rodney still on the call?
I am. I'm still struggling with documents. It's like, you know, I picked up on the last one just based on what was being said, but I cannot find the damn documents.
They're on the working group site.
But every time I go to the working group site, I get the general working group site, and I can't get at the document. I can't see the list of documents.
It's directly below the heading working group deliverables, and then initial report, and then proposed additions and changes. It's the one right above.
The version 2, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have that document open.
Yeah, that's the one that we're working off of.
Okay, so we're now on page 7, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm with you. I was looking at the right thing. I didn't realize it was the right thing.
I'm learning a lot about how to run these kind of meetings, believe me. I apologize for not getting it to you. Okay, we've got pretty good consensus. George, do you want to rattle off a minority opinion on this one?
Oh, just the same as before. So I'll look at something to the mailing list.
Terrific. Thanks. All right. I think we're going to call that one support. Now I'm going to go back to... Now I'm on 17 and 18. Basically, 17 is the stub that I asked Marika to put in. That's basically the no, we could not answer this question answer. And 18 is Dave's write-up of the answer to the question, who is harmed? And so, Dave, why don't you give us, again, just a minute. We've seen this one before, but just give us a one-minute summary of what this one's about.
This is rewritten from the one that I had posted earlier to try to align with the prior definitions and to be more consistent with the earlier submission I made and with what I observed was being submitted in the document. But what I've attempted to do here is enumerate the various end parties that would be publicly harmed or individually harmed, and I tried to identify the harms when a Fastflux attack network is involved. So again, I'm trying to tease out that whole notion that there are people who are attacking, and it's an aggressive act, versus there are people who are doing something that is both self and publicly beneficial.
All right, sir. Thanks. Since I'm the one on the list for the stub, I'll just reiterate the stub position, which is essentially, I don't know if I even need to reiterate. You can read it. It's at the very bottom of page 9. It's number 17. And this will repeat over and over again. This is essentially the view that says we really need more research, understanding, statistics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, before we pronounce on this stuff. And I'm not necessarily espousing that position. I'm essentially capturing a sense of the group. So those are the two positions. Let's vote Dave's as the one we're voting on. Use your check buttons to agree or disagree with Dave's. And we reach support for that, then that will render number 17 moot. If we don't reach support for it, we'll figure out what we're doing from there. So go ahead and vote on Dave. Looking pretty good. James, are you?
Reading,
okay. Won't pressure you much. Just a little. Mark? Still with us? Okay, it looks like we have support for Dave, so number 17 will be removed. Number 18 will be supported. Somebody wanted to ask a question I heard of.
But you mean, I'm sorry, Mike, it's Mike Rodenbach. There's agreement on these.
Yeah, there's agreement on number 18. Which is all of those, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever it is, 6, 7, 8, 9. You know.
That's including Christian's edition, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm assuming by friendly edition that you agreed with it, Dave, right?
Yeah, I think it's a great clarification.
Yeah, okay. No, that's the way I interpreted it. I just wanted to make sure that was right. Okay, now on to Joe's number, let's see what number it is. Starting on the bottom of page 12, Joe is inserting some who is harmed.
I can give a brief summary if you like.
That would be lovely. Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
So essentially the issue is that while they've captured a lot of the harms that might be inflicted on individual users, there's really a whole bunch of additional ones that he didn't capture. And I think some of them are bad enough or material enough, I think it'd be a real mistake not to include them. That's what I've attempted to do there, is go ahead and provide a list of some of the additional ways individual users can be damaged.
Okay, great summary. I think we'll clear our little gizmos and see if we are in agreement on Joe's. The meat of it is on page 13 and a little bit on 14. So if you disagree, use your X, and if you agree, use your check mark.
At this point, assuming that we are putting in the preceding section?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there anybody on the call that is not on Adobe Connect that we should be tallying your vote? I forgot all about that. Okay, good. I think we have Paul, no. Now I think we have agreement on that, so that's support, so that can go into the... Now I want you to use your little tick marks and tell me who has to leave the call at the top of the hour. So if you have to leave the call, give me a check mark. Greg, go ahead. Oh.
Oh, no, just saying I have to leave, sorry.
Yeah, it's a false positive on a check mark. So we're losing a lot of folks at the top of the hour. Okay. That's what I needed. Thanks. Clear those.
We have 7 minutes, though. I think we can race through some of the other ones.
Yeah, we can get through a few more of these, I think. I'm now on page 14. Another one from Joe. Joe, why don't you give us a quick summary of this one?
So again, that one just kind of expands on some of the harms that a business would go ahead and face potentially from fast flux. Not meant to be critical of Dave's thing, just kind of providing a little additional discussion in the way of evidence or examples.
Okie dokie. People give that one a read, and your voting capability. Tell us how you feel.
Is that the American or the English way of spelling Spectre?
It's probably the Joe bad spelling way. I hope we're going to have a spelling check apply to the whole thing, because otherwise I'm doomed.
Dreaded Spectre, I kind of like that. Lively.
I'm also fine on editorial adjustments of minor language of that sort.
Cool. Now, Marika, why don't you take this as a license to sort of sharpen up the language without changing the meaning.
Okay.
Christian, Michael? Reading?
Are we just going for B1?
This is B2.
B2?
Yeah.
I mean, just B2, okay.
Kristen, why don't you give us your concerns?
Well, I'm just worried that we're getting a little bit, on the whole, long-winded and speculative here. The breach of personal information or personally identifiable information seems to fit, but when we start to get things like possible new legislation, technically that's correct, but I mean, it seems a little bit speculative, and you know, we're already formulating a rather lengthy answer here.
Joe, would you take that as a friendly amendment to lose the second to the last paragraph?
The one that's the GOB or HIPAA-related one?
Yeah.
I could live with that.
That work for you, Christian?
Yeah, I don't particularly want to hold this up if everyone else seems to think it's necessary, but...
No, this is part of what this... presentation and tool is about. I think we get improvements when we have these conversations. So
I should also mention, really, it's not talking about speculative legislation there, but rather legislation that's already been passed. So maybe a suitable solution would be to change that from additional legislation to additional specific laws. Would that work for you, Christian?
I don't know that. I think I'd want to tweak the language a little bit more there, but I don't have something immediately jumping to mind.
What if we...
It does kind of sound to me like it's talking about new legislation, which is what immediately came to mind.
How about we just change it to additional laws may also apply to specific disciplines?
I'd actually drop the word additional and just say specific.
That'd be fine by me.
Given that change, are you comfortable then, Christian?
Yeah.
All right. I think then we have support for that one. Let's see. Rodenbaugh, have you got anything that you're agitating about on that?
I think Fast Flux is like a kind of like an enabling technique to do all kinds of criminal activities, so it's kind of hard to just narrow it down to all these things. But I see these things as just color that aren't really going to be that important. So.
Right.
I'm sorry that I didn't have it ready to be circulated by this conference call, but I did address that in the statement that I was drafting. If we want to add that as some sort of alternate opinion on these topics, we can address that in the future.
Yeah, let's see. We've got a couple of essentially individual statements that either didn't make the deadline or don't fit well. And the approach that Marika suggested this morning, which I just tranced with, is that we'll submit them as individual statements and then members can sign on. And if we wind up with a lot of members signing on, we'll move them up into the body of the report. I think Christian's got a wonderful one coming. Eyes open. I'm gonna call this one supported on to B3. Is that okay? All right.
Top of the hour?
Top of the hour. It is top of the hour. Thank you, sir. Thanks. Wonderful call. Got a lot done. See you in a week. I think we'll call it quits for today.
So Mike, are we going to continue this
yes.
in email? Or
I think we're going to continue it on the call. I think that the back-and-forth dialogue is very helpful. And
I want to wait till next week to proceed.
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to make certain.
Good question. Thank you, sir. So we'll see you in a week, and we will carry on from where we are right now. Thanks again.
Well, good call.
Yeah, great call.
You bet.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks, Marika.